Technorama Show 315 for August 31st, 2011, Blown Away.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Folks, this is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I checked my bags in for Dragon Con. Where's the baggage claim?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for August 31st, 2011. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thanks for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Man, I'm excited.
It's like 0 hours and counting. It's kind of like Christmas.
I know. By the time everybody hears this, I think we'll be in Geekland.
They can listen on their way there. I'll get it out early. Wednesday morning, and they can listen to it Wednesday or Thursday when they're traveling, whatever.
Yeah, so it'll be less than 24 hours by the time you hear this.
The next show will be our live show. May it go better than last year.
Yeah. Maybe we can find a TARDIS. We'll go back and change the show.
Please let us never mention that again.
Yeah. 2010 never happened.
That's right. We just skip right over that and go right to 2011. Anyway, we have a lot lined up. It's been a great week for stories and things. So let's get moving on. Coming up in this episode, we have new and strange planets and stars, what you can do with your old computers, and our own personal tribute to Steve Jobs. All that and the regular stuff coming up right after this.
Geek Thoughts. Software and cathedrals are much the same. First we build them, then we pray.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
This is Steve Wozniak. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
And we're probably going to see Pamela next weekend as well.
Hey, with a little look.
Well, yeah, I mean, you and I are going to be in the podcasting room, so one of us is likely to, you know, record Astronomy Cast and a few other things for them.
That's right. And what did we say? This is our seventh year?
We're doing a live show. 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, that's seven.
So, yeah, we've seen each other for 7 years, at least once a year. Something like that.
In person.
Do what?
In person.
In person, yes.
There are a lot of TV shows that don't last that long. Firefly.
But it didn't last 1 year.
I'd trade every episode of Technorama to get seven more seasons of Firefly. How's that?
Wow, that hurts. Maybe one. Speaking of that last live show, I'd treat that. For...
It's like pocket change versus a bar of gold. How do you compare that?
You know what? You're really hurting my feelings tonight.
Psst, man. Let's turn to the chat room. We have a lively group there as well. We have C Storm Surge, Step K, AD Broke Wind. Hey, now, come on. Ben Vaughn, Claudio M, Comedy Four Winds, Captain Root Beer Seller, Deb Drup, Delta Airlines, Frungy, Gru, Matt Marvicane, Knights. Marvicane sounds like what the dentist gives you before you.
Marvicane. All right, hold still. We're going to give you a shot of Marvicane.
I think it's Rossetti. It's like R3 Seti with two T's. Another Step K underscore. Craig, do you have two avatars on there?
I dropped out somehow, and yeah.
Susie Gale Force wins, Windy Tim, and ZML 2008. I was thinking about doing something like the two square flags, but you got to know your nautical themes to know what that means. If you happen to be around on Sunday night, we'd love to see you in the chat room or the live show. 9:30 Eastern is when we do the show. We usually have a little bit of pre-show going on beforehand. You can head over to chuckchat.com/technorama and join us there. We have a great crew in there. Looking at the birthday calendar coming up for this week, August 31st is Tim Downing from the High Potency Music Podcast. Where is it? Where is it? Almost lost the desk bell since I've been gone so long.
No, no.
September 5th, Ben Vaughn. He is a Technorama member, by the way. Just $2 a month.
By the way, the other night we were in a hangout. No, where were we at? He mentioned that he started listening to our show when he was in college and now he's out. I was like, when he started college.
We're starting to feel old.
I
got somebody through school.
That's like, we're going to have people saying, man, I started listening to you before I was married. Now I got two kids going to college.
Which could happen. I'm not going to college. I just thought it was two kids. That's feasible. Not going to college.
Yeah.
Not yet, anyway. September 6th is our good friend Susie Murph. Susie the Geek from How to Grow Your Geek Podcast.
And she's got a lot going on between Parsecs and her podcast. And
oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, she's crazy.
Heck yeah. What is it? It's going on 10 Eastern right now as we record this?
Yep. Yes, it is.
So 1 week from when we're recording this, we'll be recording the next one.
At the tone, it will be 10 o'clock.
So our live show will pretty much be at the same time. If we could find Wi-Fi, we could probably stream it too.
On Sunday. Actually, you know what? I thought about doing a hangout as part of our show if we had internet.
Yeah, good luck. I've never been real happy with the Wi-Fi at Dragon Con. It's very competitive.
Yeah, and I'm a little nervous about using my cellular plan to support that. But it's a thought.
But normally, we're around at 9:30 Eastern on Sunday nights to record this. And if you want to, happy birthday, by the way, to all those people. And if you're not on the calendar and it is your birthday, we wish you all the best. And if it was your birthday in the last month since we've been off the air, hope you had a great one. Get your name on the birthday calendar at chuckchat.com/wiki or go to the Technorama page and click the wiki link to get your name on there. On this day in history for August 31st, 2011. It was on this date in 1803 that Lewis and Clark started their expedition to the west by leaving Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at 11 in the morning.
Lewis and Clark, I love that Superman TV show.
Next.
Oh, it's Lewis. Thomas Edison patents the kinetoscope, the first movie projector, today in 1897.
It was also today, 1920, the first radio news program is broadcast by 8MK in Detroit, Michigan.
And the Aerospace Line's Super Guppy aircraft makes its first flight on August 31st, 1965.
That's a funny name for an aircraft, the Super
Guppy. Super Guppy. Probably wouldn't be my first choice.
That same date in 1993, the HMS Mercury closes after 52 years in commission.
And today in 1998, North Korea reportedly launches the Kwantamaksong, #1, its first satellite.
We'll go with that. I think it's closer to Kwangmyongsong. Kwangmyongsong.
Oh, okay. Well, I like mine better. It sounds like I'm talking about karaoke or something.
Happy birthday goes out of this day to Guillaume Amontong, French physicist and instrument maker? What did he make? Kazoos? Born today in 1663.
And German scientist Hermann von Helmholtz was born today in 1821.
Also born today in 1913, English radio astronomer Sir Bernard Lovell.
And American physicist and Nobel laureate H. David Pulitzer turns 62 today.
And finally, celebrating his 58th birthday, Russian cosmonaut Pavel Vinogradov. And that's the way it was on this date in history, bad names and all, for August 31st, 2011.
Where's your nuclear vessels?
Hit it.
Good startling news, everyone!
First up in the news is Well, we had had to do one story about Hurricane Irene.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be Technorama if it didn't have something geeky to do. Spider-Man was apparently out patrolling the beaches during Hurricane Irene. Yes, Spidey inexplicably went down to Hampton, Virginia to surf during the middle of Hurricane Irene. His motivation? To show people that a costume and a good attitude can conquer even extreme weather or something. My favorite part of this clip is when he jogs off as fast as a spider can.
I haven't seen this clip yet, but just looking at him, I like the little thumbnail in the video. He's got his hands on his hips and he's looking out like he sees danger or something, or he's on the lookout.
Well, the newscaster turns around and goes, well, what is your point of being dressed up as Spider-Man? Well, I'm here to show people that you can even have a good time in the middle of a hurricane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, did you see the little video about was it the Weather Channel? The guy was trying to talk about
yes. Was that the one with the guy with the shorts down?
Yeah, some guys were jumping and letting the wind kind of catch him and push him over, and they were all jumping around behind him. And one guy decided to pull his pants down and show both sides of his body. I was like, even Harrison was sitting right here with me, and he's like, what is it? He just busted out laughing.
Were you watching it live, or did you catch it on one of the news feeds later?
No, it was on video. And I said, yeah, I thought it was just, the guy just pulled his, I thought it was just his butt. And I was like, what in the world is he doing?
No.
But Harrison just busted out laughing.
Not good.
No, it was funny.
It's not how you want to be remembered.
Well, apparently that guy did.
In other interesting news this week, we do have some interesting news. Scientists have found a planet made mostly of carbon, and due to, you know, gravity and compression and whatnot, some of that carbon is likely to be made of diamond.
And that's one way that NASA's planning on getting women into the space program.
Suddenly, yeah, it's interesting and profitable.
Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Diamonds?
The new planet is far denser than any other known so far and consists largely of carbon. Because it is so dense, scientists calculate the carbon must be crystalline. So a large part of this strange world will effectively be diamond. The evolutionary history and amazing density of the planet all suggest it's comprised of carbon, i.e. massive diamond orbiting a neutron star every 2 hours in an orbit so tight it would fit inside our own sun, said Matthew Bales of Swinburne University of Technology in Melbourne. Hey, Swinburne Astronomy. They sponsor Astronomy Cast. Wow, that was kind of a nice tie-in there.
If that planet was closer, that would just totally destroy the diamond industry.
Are you going to have a heck of a time landing a ship on that thing?
I bet it's sharp.
It's only 4,000 light years away. What do you mean, if it was closer?
Well, okay, you go.
I'm on my way.
Go on, diamond run.
It's about an eighth of the way to the center of the Milky Way from Earth. The planet is probably the remnant of a once massive star that lost its outer layers to the so-called pulsar star it orbits. That's interesting. It's hard enough. I mean, it's strange enough to see a planet orbiting a pulsar. Because, you know, if the star goes kaboom, how in the world is there a planet near orbiting that thing?
There are so many combinations of stuff in the universe. I have doubt there's nothing you couldn't imagine that's hadn't been done.
Like Yoda?
That's right.
Okay.
I believe he exists.
Also, strange stars. Not only are pulsars very interesting, but so are some of the more recent stars they found that are cool enough that you could actually go up and give them a hug without getting burned. Because normally when you think of stars, you're thinking like tens of millions of degrees in the coronosphere. I have no idea. What?
Not only does it have to be the coldest star, it has to be the smallest one to get your arms around it.
Okay, we'll do that. There are some small stars in Hollywood. These are called white dwarfs. Yeah. White dwarfs are the dimmest stars of the brown dwarf family. That just sounds like a bad Lord of the Rings pun right there, a brown dwarf.
I'm all for racial equality.
I was thinking more along the potty line, but okay, go with that. Like all brown dwarfs, they're not massive enough to fuse atoms at their cores. Without the atomic energy that allows stars like our sun to burn for billions of years, brown dwarfs gradually cool until they only emit infrared light. One of the Y dwarfs found, Y is 1828 plus 2650, which would equal what, like 4478?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Now holds the record for chilliest star at 80 degrees Fahrenheit, which would be what, about 27 Celsius? Doing the math real quick. Brown dwarfs can help astronomers study star formation and the atmospheres of planets like Jupiter, which a lot of scientists say just a little larger and it could have ignited. Their atmosphere is similar to compositions to the gas giant planets, are often easier to observe because brown dwarfs are isolated in space, away from the light of more brilliant parent stars. Ooh, so does this planet have any, I mean, does this star have any planets?
Well, it said it didn't completely form into a star. That's why it's so cold. So I don't know if its gravity well would be.
80 degrees Fahrenheit, though. I mean, that's, like you said, there's nothing out there that, you know, wouldn't surprise you.
Kind of cool. Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it would surprise us because we hadn't seen it before, but it's probably nothing out there you couldn't imagine that hadn't been. It's all been done before.
Well, they didn't do it on Star Trek, so.
Did you ever see that movie poster? I know you've been in the same kind of circles I've been in before, you know, friends and stuff. And I saw a guy had a poster that had everything I learned about life I learned from Star Trek, and it had a list of stuff. I mean, it was, you know, things you go, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, but it's a whole list of stuff. You seen that?
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, I'll have to go find it. I want that poster.
All right, next up we have, of course, Hacks and Strange Stories. First up in the Hacks and Strange Stories, a man gets his eye replaced with a video camera. Ew.
Nice.
Let me show you the picture, and you'll say ew, too. Yeah.
I did see that, by the way.
I did see that. That's right. I did.
I did see that.
But this guy's a filmmaker, so...
Let me add something here, by the way. The picture he has, it looks like an old beat-up Wesley Crusher showing off a device he made on the Enterprise.
It does kind of look beat up.
Look, Mom, I made a tractor beam. iPod. I made an iPod on the Enterprise. Sorry.
In late 2008, filmmaker Rob Spence caught our attention when he announced his plan to jam a video camera in his skull to replace an eye he lost in an unfortunate accident. I think we did cover that at one time. Instead of connecting the camera to his brain, Spence sought to become a so-called lifecaster, recording the feed to an external device. Now his bionic eye is up and running, and he's even partnered with a little company called Square Enix to create a documentary about state-of-the-art prosthetics and cybernetics. The short film, embedded after, you know, a little lower in the article that we have in the link in the show notes, was commissioned to celebrate the launch of Deus Ex Human Revolution. But this isn't just some overlong commercial for the game. It's serious exploration of cutting-edge leg, arm, and eye replacement technology. I mean, how would you not stare at somebody who's got one of those in their eye?
Well, when I first look at this picture, if you look at that, if you look at it, the eye that doesn't have that has the camera in it,
yeah,
it looks like somebody popped him or something. You know, where your cornea is kind of bloodshot.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. So from a distance, he's like, okay, what's wrong with this dude's eye? But when you get closer, it's like, ah.
Now this could be, you know, think about the implications. Now you could. He's holding a little video camera device in his hand, but what if he had a cell phone and he had Bluetooth or something and you were transmitting that video, you know, somewhere else? So you could like walk in somewhere and show off passwords or watch somebody do something, you know?
Yeah, definitely don't bring that baby into the shower room.
Yeah, that would be a problem. Of course, if it was you were in there, there's nothing to see anyway.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that.
Sorry, man.
Hey, I'm not above a little self-deprecating humor.
That's the whole point of this show.
Okay, yeah.
Self-deprecating humor.
Next up, oh, you know, we had all those bacon accessories before.
Bacon.
Well, yeah, bacon. Now, if you really want, I'm not sure who you'd give this to, but there's Spam Lip Glaze. And yes, Spam Lip Glaze is exactly what you think.
Like the Dr. Pepper and stuff you'd see that, you know, the girls used to put on the...
It's kind of like a lip balm. Gloss. Yeah. Instead of raspberry, this is Spam. Rubbing meat on your face is a good way to get noticed, but probably for all the wrong reasons. But would you do it because you really want the taste for meat, but not eat it? Well, grab yourself some Spam lip glaze and you can rub the flavor of meat on your lips without getting weird stares from bacon hanging from your cheeks.
Hey, by the way, Lady Gaga called. She wants her chip or her lip gloss back.
I mean, you might as well just add garlic to that and truly be offensive.
Yeah. Can you get a little A1 on this?
I can't think of too many things that would be stinkier than Spam lip gloss.
You know, I like Spam, but no. Not rubbing it on my lips.
Does that come with grilled onions?
See, look, you know, you can do like a burger on one side and cherry cola on the other side. You know, kind of go for that retro diner food.
Why is that lady licking her lips all the time?
What is wrong with her?
I should be fair. Some people do like Spam. And actually, you know, fried Spam isn't that bad. It's kind of Bobby, unusual.
Bobby, look away, Bobby.
Dad, I tried Spam lip gloss and I like it.
Oh my God, Bobby.
Oh dear Lord.
Yeah. Oh my God, Bobby, we got a bigger problem.
Is that it for the strange story? That's it for the strange stories. We have one for the Remember When segment.
That was pretty strange enough.
That was awesomely strange. See, we had good stuff this week and we picked the best, and that's the best we can pick.
That's the best.
Wow, that's a tagline in and of itself.
We picked the best of the worst and the best.
In the Remember When, now, we took a tour of the Computer History Museum, what, about 4 years ago? 2007, yes. I think it was? Mm-hmm. And that was a good old time. And you just passed me the note that we've got, like, thousands of views on that thing.
Not just that, like 13,000.
I don't know where this is coming from, but it's cool.
Yeah. Well, I got an email from YouTube saying you can monetize your videos. I went, oh, okay. So I sort of said, well, I thought they wouldn't let you do that unless you got to a certain threshold. Well, all of my videos had like 20,000 views.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, wow, where are they all coming from? He says, what did I do? Because I don't post a lot. And then I went and looked at my stats and it's like, okay, a couple of them I made had 1,000 or something. And then there was 13,000 on one.
Pakistan.
And
the viewers are all in Pakistan. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in India. No, so it turns out it's the Computer History Museum video where we're goofing around for, it was that video we made for our live show.
And we did that on a whim.
There was no structure, nothing to it. We're just, oh, let's just goof around with this. So we had a good time with it, and apparently somebody liked it. And
As soon as we're done with the tour, I said, hey, Stan, would you mind if we just did a little video here and there to... Yeah, just kind of went from goofy to really goofy.
Well, you know, so I posted the video and thinking not a lot of people are going to get it because it's kind of out of context, but 13,000 people did. Hey, what's funny is some of the views are from referrals, you know, where they have you might also like videos on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
From videos from the Computer History Museum.
Oh, well, that's nice. So people are going to their site and watching their videos, and then we write their coattails.
So they have these professional talks at the Computer History Museum. Then they see us goofing around, touching things and rubbing the CPUs on our face, kind of like the Spam. You know,
Craig clearly touches the sign on the Google first search engine server that says "Do not touch."
It's got my fingerprint on it from here on out.
That's right. Now they know if it breaks, who to come after.
Hey, well. I did send the DVD a while back. You know, who mentioned that? Somebody in the chat room was mentioned. Clinton says now the tour is history. And it's like, yeah, well, they actually asked us if we can give them a copy of our stuff. I sent a CD with the audio MP3 the video. Remember you asked about that, remember?
We were thinking about other things you might be able to do. You know, other places we could go and make similar videos. But, The first one that came to mind came up this week was actually Paul Allen. You know who Paul Allen is, right?
Yes, I know who he is.
He's Microsoft's idea man. I think he owned Tech TV for a while and then sold it when it became G4.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So Paul Allen is an aficionado.
Oh, and aficionado. The antenna.
Oh, yep. He's an aficionado of relic computing devices. The older and more obscure, the better. He collects them along with rare World War II fighter planes, but these are easier to fit inside of a small warehouse. He also shares his passion and is living at his Living Computer Museum in Seattle. So we might be able to take another West Coast trip someday. The Living Computer Museum showcases machines, peripherals, and software from the era of interactive time-sharing systems. Alan credits personal nostalgia as his motivator in his quest for the ancient systems. Sounds like he's Indiana Jones.
You know, I was just thinking, he said old computer equipment. I kept thinking, I think I still got one of his mice in here, the laser mice that had the metal mouse pad.
A mouse system's mouse.
That was it. Yeah.
Okay. To quote Alan, they have a certain smell to them. Probably not spam.
Okay, now he's lost me.
And a certain buzz when you hit the keys, he told the Wall Street Journal. It sure takes me back to those days. Those days being when he and Bill Gates used many of the same machines on their Genesis of the Windows operating system.
They use a Sega Genesis?
Yeah, maybe. The museum is by appointment only. Ooh.
Whoa.
He resides in a nondescript warehouse in downtown Seattle, but has already attracted a following. In 2006, Alan launched PDP Planet, activated a few old servers in order to host text-based games like Zork.
That would be fun.
Don't forget, Zork rhymes with dork.
Dork. Oh, man. Well, you know, that would be fun playing Zork on some of these old machines.
It took imagination. There was a cartoon that came out this week. This guy says, the little boy says, imagination? What's that? Is there an app for that?
Yeah, it's called Infocom.
This game requires imagination. Imagination? What's that? All right, we're going to take a quick break in the Media Corner, and we will be right back with more cool stuff.
Mr. Turtle, how many keystrokes does it take to get to the ring zero center of an operating system, Pop?
I never found out without baiting. Ask Mr. Owl.
Mr. Owl, how many keystrokes does it take to get to the ring zero center of an operating system, Pop?
Let's find out. One, two, three, three.
How many licks does it take to get to the ring zero center of an operating system, Pop? The world may never know.
This is Richard Garriott,
Lord British,
private space explorer. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Chuck and Craig at Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
And in the Media Corner, we have some interesting things going on. Apparently, in, what was it, Singapore? Let me look. Yeah, Singapore.
Doctor Who is now licensing drinks.
That's right. While visiting Singapore, Marvel Comics talent scout C.B. Cebulski discovered Doctor Who bottled water, an oxygenated beverage that has absolutely nothing to do with the television show. The legality of this seems somewhat dodgy, but hey, at least we know what the doc... That Doctor Who contains no sodium or carbohydrates. Also, the Singaporean Doctor Who travels in a screamingly branded truck, which is somewhat less conspicuous than a police box.
See, it'd be cool if the Doctor had a mini fridge shaped like a TARDIS on the TARDIS.
Now, this is actually Dr. Dot Who instead of Doctor Who. There is a difference. Yeah. So that maybe that's how they get away with avoiding copyright infringement.
Maybe the guy's name is really Doctor Who, but it's like a longer name. They didn't have room to print the whole.
Singapore, it's Dr. Ho.
Ho. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Dr. Ho.
Sorry. I should not have gone there.
No. Wait a minute. I know, I just followed you right off the cliff. Okay.
Lemmings.
Yeah. Do, 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 do.
Also, we have in the media corner 18 things you didn't know about Firefly. This is a really cool info poster.
Yeah, I like these sometimes where you scrolling down, you learn some.
In the Firefly universe, the Alliance is a result of China and the USA merging. The language used in the verse is a mix of Chinese and English, which has made it easier to get past the censors. I talked to a girl who speaks Chinese, and she said that's garbage. They're not speaking Chinese in like, as you would expect Chinese.
What, in the show?
Yeah.
What are they doing then?
It's kind of gibberish Chinese.
Well, there's a bunch of different dialects of Chinese. I mean, there's Mandarin.
There's mainly Mandarin and Cantonese.
That's right.
And she said no. So I trust her.
I was watching Blade Runner, and he goes, "Hey, yeah, those cops, they talk gibberish. It's a mixture between Spanish, Japanese, and Chinese or something." And I was like, you know, I'd forgotten about that. Like the street talk is what he called it.
There's some interesting stuff in here about the props, too. The derelict ship on the episode Bushwhacked was originally a Power Rangers set.
Really?
Yep. Jane's favorite gun, Vera, was originally built for the Showtime film starring Robert De Niro and Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the film is called Showtime. I thought it was a Showtime film.
Showtime film.
The Alliance armor was from Starship Troopers. Oh, man, I'm going to go back and look at that.
Yeah. No, I don't want to see that movie again. The Starship Troopers one, by the way. No.
Do you think more people died in Serenity, all the series shows put together? Or excuse me, the movie Serenity or all the series of Firefly put together?
Movie?
No. 74 people died in Serenity. 77 died in all of Firefly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was very close.
You know, Neil Patrick Harris, right?
Yes.
He was Dr. Horrible sing-along blog guy?
Yep.
Yeah, among many other things. He originally tried out for the part of Simon Tam, but was turned down.
I thought about that, and I thought, you know, maybe, and I tried to imagine that. I don't know. I'd like to see
Neil Patrick Harris do something.
You know, serious at some point, but what do you base it on? I don't know.
I think he could pull it off, but
he might.
Twisty turn of events. The lab coat he's wearing in Dr. Horrible was a lab coat that Simon once wore in Firefly.
Yeah.
Thought that was kind of cool.
It is cool.
So there's a whole bunch more. There's even a tie into Star Trek. Gene Roddenberry originally pitched Star Trek to the network as, do you remember the original working title?
Mm-hmm.
Wagon Train to the Stars. A 1964 TV Western. Firefly was an actual space Western. Interesting reimagining of that.
That's right.
Serenity made an appearance in the background of the Battlestar Galactica miniseries during the scene where Laura Roslin is diagnosed with breast cancer.
I guess out the window.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, it's probably small. And that's like seeing R2-D2 on Star Trek.
Well, didn't they say... that there's hidden Star Wars things like Han Solo and Carbonite in the background on some of the sets as well.
Yeah, but it's like a toy version. You know, it's like small. So it may be sitting on a wall or something.
Yeah. It's like you know, 6 inches high or something.
I think so I noticed it once and thought that was funny, but I didn't realize it was like in a lot of episodes. Now I got to go back and watch them again.
Oh, there it is. It's in these facts. Han Solo made a cameo, or at least a toy version of Han Solo, frozen in carbonite. The cast and crew snuck him into the background of each episode. That and many more fun facts available to you in the show notes. Which brings us to the Geek Library. In the Geek Library, we have... here's our tribute to Steve Jobs. You know, he's known for many innovative things, but he's also known for quite a few flops, and there are a lot of them. I mean, he's a risk taker. Some things worked, and when they worked big, like the iPod, the iPhone,
mm-hmm.
the iPad, when nobody else thought tablets could make it. He came out with stuff that was cool. But he also came out with things that just didn't work all that well.
There's one adopted on this list I do take exception with, but we'll get to it in a moment.
Okay. There was the Apple Lisa, named after Jobs' daughter. It may have been the first computer to employ a GUI in 83, but it cost $10,000. And it had a hulky,
L-I-S-A, right?
Hey, well, that's what I would have named it.
That's right.
There was also the hockey puck mouse that came with the original IMAX. Remember that round thing?
I did not get that. I mean, it was just, no, I didn't like it at all.
There are some mice. I mean, it was futuristic looking, like the new IMAX that, you know, when they came out with those at first. The iPod Hi-Fi. Never saw this in the real world.
That was a bomb. They had a whole press conference, and that was the one of the stars of the thing.
$350 price tag.
Wow.
No.
The buttonless iPod Shuffle? Fail. Final Cut Pro X? That one is I don't know.
That's subjective, I think, a little bit.
I think so, too, and I think it was largely the viewpoint of the people who had used it in the past, because newbies who were coming on board going, hey, this isn't too bad. It was a classic case of, what did you do with my functions and why did you move these things around?
Well,
that's
you know
the way
what?
I picked up.
If they needed to do some technical upgrades or from Apple's point of view, they would have never, I mean, no matter what they did, they would have never pleased anybody or everybody.
I was just thinking about today. Ping in iTunes. Did you ever use Ping?
No.
Me neither.
I did not, because it was like, why should I sign up for another social network? However, Google Plus came along and I jumped right in.
That's what I was thinking too.
So,
The PowerMac G4 Cube.
Now, see, this is the one I take exception with, because I thought this was a great little looking machine. I never had one. I really wanted one. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a well-designed machine. I liked it. It was cool. It was
very well designed. But it wasn't well adapted. The two don't go together well. And of course, the infamous iPod Photo. Everybody wanted a video iPod, and this is how they fill the gap.
Well, the photo part was fine. It was
you had a teeny little screen. You get a bigger screen on the back of your camera right now.
Well, shortly after that, the iPod Touch came
out. The fifth gen came out first.
I'm sorry, you're right.
And that could do video and audio, and it had a bigger screen. And
I remember some people were taking, this was dumb, they'd take a bunch of images, and to watch the video, had to use a scroll wheel, you know, and run it through like one of those old things you put a penny in, you know, and crank it so you can see the woman taking her clothes off, or those old, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Those are the ones you watched? You watched the ladies taking their clothes off?
No, that's the first thing that popped in my mind. No, you know what I'm talking about, where you see the little peeps.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Little flip cards in there.
All right, let's move on. We've covered all the crazy ones. Bugs with funny names. Yes, scientists get creative every once in a while. When you look at the Latin names, you know, there's Diptera callosidae, and it's like, I think that's a mosquito or a housefly. I forget which one. Might have been a mosquito. But they've come up with some rather ingenious ones. Like there's a flea, I think it is, that's Fiodoli Harrison 40.
I'm sorry, you know what? By the way, that Fiodoli, when I first saw that, I kept thinking of the IT crowd, Peterfile.
That's what your name is. Petophile. There's a beetle called E2 Brutus, a snail called Bah Humbuggy, a wasp called Lalapalusa. Lalapalusa. Yes, that's true. The vampire squid. Now, I know the giant squid is Architeuthis, but the vampire squid is Vampirituthis infernalis. There's a moth called Leonardo da Vinci. Honest to goodness, I'm not making this up. There's a palindromic name for an SPP of a subspecies of a scarab beetle called Oryzabus subazero. Subazero. Don't they make commercial grade refrigerators and freezer units?
It sounds like it's from Mortal Kombat.
There's a clam called Abracadabra.
Sub-Zero, finish him. Right. Abracadabra.
There's
funny. Abracadabra is a clam, so it would close up, disappear.
There is there are fungus beetles. There is this is GELAEBAEN. Jelly bean. Jelly Belly, Jelly Donut, and Jelly Fish, and Jelly Roll. Wow. They had fun with that jelly. I'd be a little more geeky and go Jelly Script, but
I wonder if there's a real Babel Fish. Not sticking it in you, my Craig. Ear, but I'm just wondering.
Only you, Craig. Finally up, we have Ask Vader. You no longer need your magic 8-ball. You can go over to vader.starwars.com and try this out. It's just about as useless as an 8-ball. It's a site. Up comes Vader, says, enter your question here. And it's funny because he's standing there on the bridge of the, not the Death Star, but he's on one of the Star Destroyers, right? He turns around and he's waiting for yes. Type in a question. So I'm going to type in what's for dinner.
Vader looks a little shorter
dinner.
And stockier.
I ask what's for dinner. It transmits the question. And he answers, I find your lack of articulation disturbing.
I like how the video kind of changes. Look, I've been taking a while to type, and he starts waving his hand like, hurry up.
Yeah, it's like, come on, type faster. Did you kill Obi-Wan? And he says, your fate is certain. Okay, these aren't, like an 8-ball, it kind of does whatever it wants. I don't know, mine keeps, then it goes to special moments with Vader.
Special moments with Vader, that's funny.
He's watching TV. It jumps to a little clip. He's sitting in his living room watching episode 5. Or no, he's watching episode 6.
Hey, he had a Tauntaun's head mounted on the wall.
The Death Star is destroyed, and he just shakes his head. So go on over to vader.starwars.com. It's a whole lot of fun, or at least, 10 minutes of fun, which is better than nothing.
That's funny. Well, we just had fun with it, and we blew a couple minutes.
And we're going to have more fun next week.
Yeah. Don't forget, Sunday night, 10 o'clock.
Hilton, 204. We'll see you there. Put it on your schedule. Go download the app. There's BlackBerry, Android, and iPhone app for Dragon Con this year.
And if you can't remind yourself, just look at our Twitter stream. I'm sure you'll get sick of us telling you, hey, we're going to be here.
We got a lot of places to be this weekend. So how did this go from fun to work?
Hey, well, looking forward to the Parsec, see what happens. I expect somebody else is, probably going to pull it off, but it's fun
probably,
to be nominated.
But we're still honored to be finalists.
Absolutely. There's some other good names in there, Clinton.
It just means we have an excuse to go drown our sorrows instead of celebrating victory. So either way, we're probably going to get a little loopy.
Yeah. So it's a win-win. We're either drinking, either we win or we lose.
That's right. Celebrate either way. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line 206-222-CHAT. We haven't heard from you in a while. Give us a call, 206-222-2428, or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We relish your feedback. It's one of the things that keeps us motivated. We haven't heard you, so we haven't
like
been motivated.
Like the Tranya, we relish it.
Oh, boy. Don't get me started on that Tranya.
Hey, every time I hear the word relish, I keep thinking of that,
I think of
Clint
a
Howard.
Chicago-style hot dog myself. I don't know about you, but
that's the second thought that bump comes in my mind.
Somebody should serve Tranya at Dragon Con.
That was it. Well, the Hilton asked for drink suggestions because their bar is pretty popular. So, I put the Gargle Blaster.
I'm going to go up Thursday night when we get there like we did last time. We'll just sit there and watch celebrities and go up and order a Tranya.
Yeah.
If they could serve me a screwdriver, I wouldn't know the difference.
And that'd be funny if Clint Howard, for some reason, was right there. Tron, you please. Oh, hey.
Special thanks to Mad Marv for keeping our blog going during the week. He, Craig, and I are putting in content all the time, so make sure you subscribe to the RSS feed or check out the website every once in a while over at chuckchat.com. So, and thanks to Ustream, who keeps our live streams going and archives the shows for us. You can watch them later. Chat room provided by thinstack.net. Steve Rickenberg and all his team do a terrific job over there. I hope if I work the right faders on the thing. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all the great podcasts over there. Check them out. We know you're going to find something you like. How many days? 3 days from now? till we're on the road?
Yeah, and it seems like everybody at work wants to have a meeting, have something, do something. It's 3 days.
Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, a binary high five.
101, everybody. Road trip.
You like it?
I like it.
Dirty, rake a freckin' slutter touch.